God's Miracle Church. You can be seated. We're going to sing Holy Ground before I get started. And the reason I decided to do that is because I had a great time last Sunday. And if you were not here, you really missed a treat. And it was Pastor's anniversary, and we gave all our accolades to each individual pastor. And was just so blessed the whole service. All week, all I did was think about that. Angelica, come on up here. Because we had the combined crowd. Come on, Angelica. Put your shoes on. Come on. And I enjoyed that too. Us coming together, working together, that was great. We are standing on today. You're a wonderful, awesome God. There's nobody like you. I don't know about you. I sure am enjoying retirement. It's been great. Every time I get a chance and I just smile and I'm just so happy because I can get up when I want to. You know, when you got a job, you got to be there at a certain time and you got to do certain things, and it puts a lot of extra pressure on you. But it's just been wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, and I never thought I would ever make it to this. Good morning, God's Miracle Church. Would everyone please stand and honor God as I pray? Father, we do come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the anointing on my life. Now speak through these lips of clay with a spirit of excellence, accuracy, and boldness, that the word will go forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside forces. Let me die to myself. Let God be glorified. Father, we pray for signs, wonders, miracles. May they be confirmed in this service today. Amen. You may have a seat. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it tells us to study to show ourselves approved. And it's a reason for that. We always want to know, what does the word of God say about a circumstance or a situation? And we go through so much in life, as women, as men. And then we come to a place, and I call it on the road of Damascus. You know, where you're kind of making a choice sometimes. Do you have a road of Damascus? I want us to take a moment and really look at what happened on that road. What was going on? What was really happening at that time? Before Saul goes to the road of Damascus, something happened. Here are some facts about Stephen. You know, it's very few things that we know about Stephen, and I sometimes go off on a rabbit trail. I'm supposed to be over here on the road of Damascus, and here I'm talking about Stephen. But anyway, God had some facts that I didn't know. And here's my nuggets about Stephen. Stephen was the first deacon in the Bible. He was stoned at the age of 36 years old. He was the first martyr. He was also a waiter. Can you believe that? God would use him to wait on tables. And some of those tables had elderly widows at the table. So he would go and pass out food to the widows. He cared for them. He prayed for them. Stephen was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of divine blessings and favor. He was intelligent and a wise man, a man of God. In 6:15, Acts 6:15, then all who sat in the council of the Sanhedrin, as they gazed intensely at Stephen, saw a face of an angel appear. You know, I love angels. See, I got my angel pin on, and I sing about holy ground and these angels. And if anybody ever comes to my house, I got angels in every room because I believe angels come to protect. They're always protecting something, and I place them in my house for protection. What I loved about Stephen's character, you know, even as they were stoning him, and you can find this in Acts 7:60. It says, even before he died, like Jesus, he pleaded for forgiveness. You know, that's got to be something. People throwing rocks at you, and you didn't do anything. You're down there on your knees on the ground, and you're just being beat down. And yet, you say, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. So I believe his character possessed Galatians 5:22. If you think about it, there was love, there was joy, there was peace, there was patience, there was kindness, there was goodness, there was faithfulness, gentleness, and also self-control. You know, I have my foods for thought, because my brain is always thinking about what if, or if this had happened. So one of my questions was, what would you have done while you were being stoned? Would you have tried to fight back? Or would you have laid your life down for Christ? Now, these are some sharp, hard, heavy rocks coming at you. But isn't that like life? Don't the sharp, hard rocks come at you? And then what do you do? Do you lay down? Or you begin to get into that prayer closet and begin to go into warfare and put on your whole armor and begin to fight? See, because we've been taught, but we don't use what we've been taught. Sometimes we just lay down and say, oh, well, I'm defeated. But then you have to remember to get up and put on your whole armor and march into that battle that you have. Saul was a witness to Stephen being stoned. Isn't that something? But yet, he didn't do nothing. He just stood back and said, oh, well, another one of those Christians. He's down now, out for the count. Now we see Saul on the way to Damascus, and he is still looking to persecute Christians. Now, if that wasn't enough to see that man go through that, he said, I'm going to go get some more. Let me see where else I can find these Christians so I can persecute them, so I can knock them down. While on the road of Damascus, Saul went blind. Suddenly, he was on the ground, blind, blinded by a light, a heavenly light, shining. And then he heard the voice of the Lord say, Saul, Saul, why have you persecuted me? And I'm sure Saul said, well, I didn't do anything to you. That was Stephen. But guess what? If you do anything to God's people, you're persecuting him. So we must be careful how we treat each other gingerly and love each other and care about each other. Let's talk about the light for a moment. Light always covers the darkness. In a dark room, the lights are turned on and turn our head towards the bright light. You know when you come into your, like you wake up in the morning and your house is dark and you cut the light on, the first thing I do is do like this because my eyes haven't adjusted to the light. And so what I see is when he was on the road to Damascus and he was riding out, maybe he was on a horse, maybe he could have been walking, and he's riding out into that light, and all of a sudden, this brilliant light comes, and he can hardly see. So he's probably dropping down to his knees. And this light was also so bright that Saul fell to his knees. But you see, it wasn't only his physical body that was blinded. He was blinded spiritually. Because he didn't know God. He had no idea of who he was messing with. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we take people for granted. We say, oh, that's just so-and-so. Don't worry about them. But that very person probably was praying for you. That person that you just pushed over there to the side. But guess what? They're always constantly praying for you. We have some wonderful prayer warriors in this church that constantly pray for us, even when we don't know it. Miss Lottie. Oh, okay. He said, who is the Lord? A sinner always submits and surrenders unto God's will. Lord, what willest thou have me to do? He said, arise and go into the city. We'll find that in Acts 9, 4, and 6. Another food for thought. Have you ever had to ask God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And what is my purpose? I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm trying to find out where I should be, or what I should be doing, but what are you doing? Are you not doing anything? Well, then that's not God's purpose. I can tell you that now. He wants you to be about the Father's business. Going out and about, tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. It's okay if they think you're a crackpot, like my brother says all the time. It's okay. It's all right. And I do it every day. I don't necessarily beat people over the head with scripture, but I certainly let them know I know the Lord. Paul recognized Jesus as Lord, and he admitted his own wrongdoings, surrendering his life to Jesus, and made a plan to obey. Okay, we trust him, but do we obey? Now, trusting and obeying, two different things, right? Okay, I trust him to wake me up in the morning, but I obey him by doing what he called me to do. And we want to always be in a spirit of obedience. It's important. It's important to our very lives. The men around Saul heard his voice, but no man saw anything. They heard God's voice, but they didn't visibly see him. How many times do we hear something? I don't know, God, is that you? Are you talking to me? Could that be you? Or is that me? Well, I'm going to tell you, if he's telling you to do something bad, that ain't him. There are, Saul was blinded for 3 days. But guess what? Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the whale, and Jesus was in the tomb 3 days. So there's a significance to that number three. Let's open our spiritual eye today and close off the world. I want you to think about this in your spiritual eye. Be ye transformed in the renewal of your mind. I want you to say in yourself, to yourself, I am going to renew my mind. I am going to increase my faith. I am going to change all my old ways, and I am going to forgive. Okay? Because it's important. The forgiveness part really should have been at the top, because you know, we do things and we say, now, why did they do that? Why did they say that? Oh, that was awful. I'm so upset. But guess what? If we don't forgive them, God won't forgive us. I do not want to be in that position. I don't want God to not forgive me. I don't want that. I'm sure this is what's happening for the 3 days that Saul lost his sight. He had time to think about what he was doing. See, sometimes God will stop us in our tracks, just as he did for Colin. You know, he was going. I got to make this money. I got to have this. I got to have that. But guess what? He'll stop you. I was making good money where I was at. I could work overtime, triple time, anytime. Money was coming in back and forth. They were calling me. I was going in, coming out. But guess what? I was wearing my body down to a frazzle. And also, guess what else? I worked God right out of my routine. I got up. I had prayer for 15 minutes. And I'm out the door. Why? Because I got to hurry up and get to work. I got to hurry up and get the grandkids. I got to hurry up and do something else. And then I finally worked him right on out of my schedule. I said, hey, wait a minute. What am I doing? I even came to church one Sunday, sat on that second pew, and actually began to nod. And I don't like to do that. Even though when you do that, your spirit is still open. So don't worry about it if the kids go to sleep, if they get tired. It's okay. because their spirit hears everything, what their ears miss. God gives us time to do self-evaluation and allows us to change our ways. No, he gives us so much time that we waste. We waste time. I'm trying to do time management now because I'm just, now that I don't have a schedule, I say, oh, that's okay, I'll just sit here. Let's see, what should I be doing now? Maybe I'll polish my nails. Oh, well. Let's see, I'll read the word for a little while. Okay, that's good. That's a good point, God. Oh, I like that. But the thing about it is, you're not using your time in a constructive way. Now, I get up in the morning, and because I talk to y'all about spirit, soul, and body, I have to go swimming because I have to make the word be so. And I get up every morning, and I go swimming. I do my water aerobics. I exercise. And just as Janice said, we need to take care of our body. We need to have a balance in our day. We need to do other things. We need to eat right. We need to think about all of these things. And then don't sit on the couch thinking about it. Get up and do something about it. Take time and look at your life. It's your life. And do you want your life to be pleasing to God? Amen. Okay, then, you need to read your Bible. You need to spend some quiet time. You know, quiet time is not laying on the bed with the TV on. The TV has to be off. And sometimes when you free and clear your mind, you can hear so clearly from God. Your instructions, what do you want me to do tomorrow, Lord? Is there somebody you want me to go see? Is there something you would have me to do? As you lay on your bed, take that moment, that quiet time, and do it about 20 minutes, you know, not 15. Okay, have my quiet time. Let's go. Don't do that. Take time and really, really get that quiet time in. And you'll feel better. You'll do better. Your mind will be renewed and refreshed. Are you too busy to hear from God? Are you really too busy? It says stop and do not be spiritually blind. God wants to speak to you. You need to learn to listen. Saul was given time to reflect and to repent of his life. Now, while we are busy laying on the bed and taking that 20 minutes of downtime, start reflecting on that day. How can I improve who I am? What can I do that will make God more pleased with me? Where can I go? Can I go to the nursing home and sit and talk to someone? Could I go out to the grocery store and stand behind a mother with a lot of children and she's counting, making sure she has some money, and I could say, here, let that bless you. See, these are things that you can do that will really help someone else. We're in trying times now. We are in trying times. But not to worry, God has your back. He's going to carry you with those footprints in the sand. I love that. Every time I see that, I said, you know, you're right, God. And he'll show me that every once in a while, the footprints in the sand, where he's carrying you. Saul, who was named Paul, received his sight at his house. God told the prophet Ananias to go to him and lay hands on him, Saul of Tarsus, and the scales fell from his eyes, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized. You know what I think is funny? If you look at Acts 11, Paul's house was on the street of straight. Isn't that amazing? look at God. He can even be funny. And I was like, look at that. I really hadn't noticed that before I started reading. Open your eyes that you may see. Open your ears so you may hear and hear from God. God loves you, and he's given you a second chance. It's time for you to make that change. It's time. If you haven't changed, you have an opportunity. It's there. Anyone here today that you would like to give God a second chance in your life? I know that there are a lot of people, if you were like me, I did not like church because my mother had us in church from sunup to sundown. We even slept under the pews because I was so tired. I said, Mama, please, can we go home? And she said, no, God ain't finished with you yet. I said, finished with me? He said, yep, because you're complaining. And I said, okay. And she was a missionary, and she fed everybody in the neighborhood. We had six girls in my family. And everybody that would come by that house would stop in to get something to eat. And I'm looking, Mama, we don't have enough for us. How in the world are we going to feed somebody else? But you know what? She always had something for somebody. And I love that about her, you know. And I said, okay. And my uncle used to come down from New York. Okay. My uncle used to come down from New York. And when he would come down, everybody had to shift where they slept. So that means all six of us got to be in the same bed because he's got to have a space. I was like, I wish he wouldn't come down so often. Golly. But it's just wonderful. It is a wonderful thing to be on the road of Damascus. Now you know you have a choice. You can go any direction on this road that you desire to. And I'm hoping by what I have said or anything that I have done, it will prick your spirit to want to do something different this week. Something different that you can think of on the road of Damascus. At this time, I am going to open the altar for anyone that desires to have prayer today. If there is anyone that would like to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, it is open. And if you don't come, God has given me three people that I need to call. Last night, I wrestled with it. And he told me, this is what I want you to do.